there's like the detailed one.
Yeah. You may have seen it correctly. Did you hit record?
I did.
Okay.
Last thing that you get.
We'll just end it now.
Okay, so are you good?
Yeah, wonderful.
So you just, you can just back it up.
Let's go see all that. That's the portal housing.
Oh, okay, sure.
Just so we know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You got my number, give me.
I appreciate you.
Gus, how you doing? Good to see you.
I'm Dustin Portal.
Oh, yeah, I like anything they'll do.
Oh, did you? Okay. Give us a little, you know, more data.
Oh, really? No.
I'm going to reflect the pros and cons. I should get something to you.
Bigger stuff. I know big leagues. I just seen last weekend. Last week, that was.
How are you, sir?
Good. Are we going to have anybody here from the general counsel's office?
Something here.
Well, don't do.
So we have Kim Taylor here.
Okay. That's better for us. But I've socialized it with.
Get it to them.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have some things I think that are going to need to go through them.
So I've
or procurement if they can give me money.
Okay. So
I'm going to let her know the pros and cons as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you, man.
You guys
have
the pleasure of meeting Mark. I'm Amanda.
Hi,
Mark.
Congressman. I remember when he was in the Navy.
Absolutely.
My wife was in the Navy. That's when I met her. I ran the, from the U.S. Attorney's Office, I ran the special assistant
program.
So that's how I met him.
All the other capital assets.
Navy connection.
Wonderful.
Back more than three decades, and I'll just stop there. Ago.
That's the case. I'm
good. Yeah, that would be good.
Of course, the decision's with the administration.
I'm a person, probably.
But I'm going to present them with the data.
If you don't have a new one, I've got a chance to see and hear the pros and the pushbacks. And the
yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, we have not been able to connect in person.
Yeah, no worries. I need to follow up with y'all.
That's okay, I want you to.
So, and then, you know, I'm like,
just get my face.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Only a few.
So we're
like, it'll be uneven if she does it, right? Like,
yeah. Fortune.
Okay. And, you know, I'm ready to get worse.
You can sit naughty.
You can sit naughty.
I'll set some time.
Please do. I'll put it right here.
I've heard about the process
since the administration over.
Bringing everybody in. You may
so
have somebody that we can involve the system. But that's what they got to open up. They can and here's everything we do.
Or
so
they realize like
there's going to be some meetings of this, which is
is all
the environment that's been
but it's a perfect example of how the process
yes.
Good.
I'm sure they are.
Well, we're taking a step.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you putting this together. I watched the whole Freeman debacle.
Good, how you doing?
Yeah, and it's just like
Amber, why don't you leave us?
We've got 14 districts.
See, it's warmed up for you.
Buddy
on the other side.
Everybody gonna open it up.
You know, 2.8
aren't you representing the council?
And you got people like me that's gonna come out too and say, well, you did
come on.
I mean, you're opening up a box.
You may be a special.
Yeah. Somebody told me that when in doubt, did it out. I don't know who told me that.
You should see my sign. I got one of the traffic signs that I got from eBay. But it says City of Jacksonville, when in doubt, bid it out.
You can put it out from RFP. And then the support system that's evaluated the best scenario.
Correct.
Yeah. And if you do an RFP and you have no responses, then the next protocol is
I agree.
Hey, Mark. I am.
Okay.
All right. Do you want me to dance or something, or what do you want
Jeremy
me to
will
do?
Jeremy will be here in a second. Just in the restroom.
No, it's not like we vote. It's not like we vote on anything. Just get me here as fast as I can. I will. He's glad. You know how that goes.
They've got a
Shirley
presentation.
Yes, sir. I do too. I got a few things. I'm just going to let them sit today.
Good to see you again.
I used to work right here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you said I'm back.
It's huge. You know, military inspiration.
You'll notice.
Everything comes out.
All right. I'll see you shortly.
Thanks. I'm
back. That's harder, Steve. He's on his way. Dunkin' Donuts just came up with some warm donuts or he had to stop.
It's not fixed.
Right.
I didn't know what it was. Yeah, it's kind of neat how it's a stage.
Wow.
And then there's some areas, St. Mary's. It's a submarine base. It's the most, it's the most simple image.
This is trying to see which step we have.
Sir.
Who would have known?
Yeah, people say all the time, well, nothing's going to happen at Jacksonville. Can you wipe out the attack Jacksonville?
He usually does show up, though. He's a
very
reliable
tidbit of
importance. Unless maybe he's at the donut shop,
too. Maybe one of them.
It's funny, you know, because the general public, you know, who's not going to know like
we got a few more coming. I'll get a couple in a bit.
Oh, yeah? Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been to Kings. It's been a long time since I've been here. That was probably.
You've been on the Pumble Island?
Yeah.
They move ordnance there, too. There's a train there that moves ordnance back and forth. There's a train track.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of have that. I could put a clear thing on it so we can write on it.
We're introducing the dredge here. This is the basin one.
It all runs out
and it
here.
Goes to basin two, and it's supposed to, this is supposed to be the main sediment. This is the final catch of sediment, and then it goes back through. Going through, we don't have the time that it needs to settle and go here, and the cuttings are being transferred into
have
here
some ideas
and right back into it. This is
something like that.
This right
where
here
is dropped.
Specific companies along
are you familiar with the
perimeter of
that jet ski operation? What type of project?
It used to be a marina, but then this jet ski company kind of took it over. They have like a jet ski.
These pictures don't give me the truth.
There's a
Harvey called me and he's late.
If anything, it'd be between
And he said he's got that many fingers and it's going to take him that long.
They're all off to one. That's an excuse for tardiness.
Oh, yeah. I said, I thought, I didn't know you were a police officer.
Where
was
this?
Can everybody hear me? Good afternoon. I'm Mike Gay. I'm the City Council of District 2 and Chairman of the Waterways. We'll go ahead and get the meeting moving forward here. I'll start with my to my left here. We'll do introduction and roll call.
Good afternoon. Amber Lehman with Councilman Talon's office, DCA.
Kim Taylor, Council Auditor.
Dustin Freeman, Procurement.
Gregory Grant, Equal Business Opportunity.
Mike Gay, District 2.
Mark Devereaux, Waterways Commissioner.
Brian Burkett, Parks.
Jim Suber, Waterways Coordinator.
Jerry Pinto, Jacksonville University.
And Jeremy Stalker, Jacksonville University.
Thank you. Appreciate everyone being here. I think first we want to go ahead and show you just a quick presentation of why we're here. And if we need to go back to a slide, we will. It kind of moves a little quick, but it'll kind of give you an overview of what we're looking at. And Bethany, you can go ahead and show that. So you can see how it's definitely increasing, and the shoal is actually increasing pretty fast, where we'll have a new island out there before long. And this is actually the St. John's River, where people walking out in the middle of it now.
That's looking south.
All right, thank you. Before I go any further, I'd like to go ahead, if the ones in the audience would go ahead and introduce themselves as well, because they're just as important, had to be represented here as well.
Joe Johnson, Councilman Ken Mayor's office.
I appreciate everybody being here and the concern in this. So what we have presented to us, Dustin's got to leave pretty close to 3 o'clock or before, so I want to go ahead and dive into the we have a proposal from JU to go out and do the study. So from, and Captain Suber may elaborate a little more on this than I will, than I'm able to, since he's got a longer experience with this, that the Army Corps is doing the dredging. And the effect from the dredging, we strongly feel, from the shoal is coming from the dredging. So JU, Dr. Pinta, and Dr. Stalker have prepared this shoaling investigation proposal. In talking with Ms. Taylor and OGC, that there's some issues with it that would need to be addressed. So that's why I'm bringing you in, Chief Freeman, and as well as Director Grant with our JSEP, to make sure we follow the proper protocol and we're in line that if, with what JU is proposing, is there potential other firms that can do this? We just want to make sure we're in the right posture and what we're doing moving forward to where we have a big concern with our council, and rightfully so, that we are not so quick to do direct contracts and to where we've got an equal opportunity out there. So, and I may let ask Ms. Taylor if she would elaborate some of the concerns on the JU proposal. And I know y'all just seen it for the first time today, so this is one of several meetings we'll probably be having, so there won't be a finality to this today, but this is to get it steered and moving in the right direction. So, Ms. Taylor, if you can add your concerns.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, and I don't know, to JU, I don't know if this is a little different than the original one, so I apologize. This is the first time I'm seeing this portion. It looks like some of the items may have been addressed, so forgive me if I indicate things that you have addressed already. Some of the concerns were just we wanted to make sure on the deliverables in the report. The code, yes, you can specify in the legislation that there be funds advanced. That was one of the things from a financial standpoint. While you can do it, it would be abnormal. I don't know, on the manatee study, we may advance funds on that one. But typically with a for services type contract that we're getting in this situation, it would be a reimbursement type basis where whatever firm or JU or whoever we're hiring, they're providing deliverables, and then the city is providing the finances on a reimbursement type basis so that the city's finances are protected. You're getting a deliverable, and maybe a little bit different dealing with a university versus a typical, like an engineering firm or somebody else that might do it. But that's from a typical standpoint that we would see in a contract. So I know that was one of the things that Ms. Stephopoulos raised. Property access from a legal standpoint, I know she had raised that issue of getting access. I believe there was a parcel that had to be accessed for comparison purposes, and that needed to be vetted as far as legal access, that the city was protected from that standpoint. Getting agreement from the Army Corps of Engineers on the methodology so that we don't run into the situation of the finances being spent by the city and then Army Corps of Engineers questioning those results or saying, that's great, we would have done it a different way. And so there needs to be something that would actually be in the agreement that the Army Corps, I would say similar to traffic studies that we do, when a developer does them, there's agreement from our chief of traffic engineering. Same type thing would need to happen here so that we ensure that, again, the city's finances are properly utilized, that in the end, we don't want Army Corps of Engineers coming back and saying, we reject what you found. We want those results to be able to be used. The equipment that was addressed at one of the meetings, that would need to be discussed if it is JU that does it. Since it is city dollars purchasing and utilizing equipment, of what happens to that equipment in the end, and then ensuring that it's used for certain purposes. And as far as JU, the education component, both Ms. Stephopoulos and I just had a concern on you know, if we're doing a contract for deliverables on this to get to an end product, that we're kind of sticking to that point in the contract. So the educational component, we needed to understand better, and she had even recommended peeling that out so that we were clear on, you know, we're trying to get a deliverable that we can present to Army Corps of Engineers to try to get something addressed and changed. So those are the main concerns and items that were raised. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Our JU team have any, comments?
I can speak for what I know. So I can't speak for the financial arm of our university. Believe me, I cannot speak for them. And how they work with advance funds or reimbursements, that would be a conversation I guess we'd have to have with our CFO to see if how that would work out in the end for reimbursing the project. Property access, we have to get on the U.S. Marine Corps spoil site. That is an interesting point. Our conversations we began with the U.S. Marine Corps have not been negative. They want to know what we're planning on doing and how we're planning on doing it, so I don't think that will be the sticking point of permitting or anything like that. The Army Corps of Engineers and the methodology. So the methodology is, and we're not doing anything novel and new, this is done all over the country by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, so they actually hire firms to do very similar studies. In Norfolk, they do them in the Columbia River. Other places where they're having shoaling issues or if there's sediment showing up where it's not supposed to. From spoil piles, actually. This is actually all kind of from things they already do. So we'd be actually contracting for our materials with a company that has worked with the Army Corps previously. Whether they're going to agree with our findings or not, all I can tell you is that we're going to do a rigorous scientific study following scientific standards and produce a deliverable that produces some answers. Whether the Army Corps agrees with that or not, I can't guess whether they're going to. I don't know where that is. I don't know what their politics are. I don't know what they're looking for. Their study, I haven't seen the exacts of the study they proposed to do. I think they had a lot of modeling in there. And building a model is an expensive process. We can do modeling with the data we get. And that's actually in the budget originally we were talking about doing some modeling about sediment movement. This has been pushed sort of to a very simple state of we'll place these tracer grains on the pile and whether they show up or not. It's basically a is this happening or not answer. So right, are we seeing sediment from this pile appear on this spoil? Or from the spoil appear on the shoaling pile? So the methodologies may be different. The way the Army Corps approaches it may be different. But we're not doing anything out of the ordinary that isn't out of normal standards. Let's see. And the equipment. The equipment owned by the city. It's owned by the city. We would return it to you if you wanted it after we were done using it. Otherwise, we just house it at the MSRI and use it for further studies, things like that, for education. The education component, so we are proposing to use student workers to help analyze the sediments because there are going to be a lot of samples. And this is a good training mechanism for them for future work. But there's nothing written into any coursework or curriculum about this, so it would simply be a deliverable that we were responsible for, that the students would simply be helping with. So the educational component simply is a bonus in some ways that we can teach something to our students while we're doing this. Does that answer some questions?
Now, with the, for just clarity from my point, would y'all be contracting with anybody, any other outside firm for services?
Yep, so Paratech Incorporated, they are a company that produces the specialized sediment for these kinds of studies. So it's a manufactured grain. We send samples to them. They produce an identical sample that's fluorescent and magnetic.
Would that be just purchasing from them?
Yeah,
or would they
purchasing. So they work with us on several levels, making the sediment production and, in the end, helping us put out things like their magnetic traps. They would send someone who would help us sort of work out how
to
install.
Clarify what I'm trying to say. Will you have a... Does your proposal include somebody, another firm coming in, being on site and performing services, or is it just purchasing the materials from them?
Yeah, we'd be subcontracting, and at least one person be coming to, instruct.
Okay. This is the information that our procurement and our JSEP needs to fully be vested in what's taking place. So that more than likely we'll be having some more meetings. But there's definitely questions that needs to be addressed, and that's why we've reached out to Congressman Rutherford and Bean's office. And this is in Congressman Bean's district, and so We're hoping that, and we'll be having some more meetings to get some, I guess, congressional influence to with the DOD and the everybody involved to make sure that at the end result is an acceptable result, that an action can be taken place. We don't want to go through and do this and end up with, oh, well, you didn't do it, you know, ABC, you did it DEF, and it's not acceptable. So before we jump and go, I want to make sure we're all going in the right direction, and hopefully Congressman Bean will be able to actually help supplement this or fund it all for us, and we don't have to worry about any of it, you know? So that don't hurt to wish. So I believe, Mr. Devereaux, you had a question.
Just a few comments on both, Doctor, your comments and yours as well, Ms. Taylor. First of all, on the payment part, what about looking at it? See, the JU, they've broken it down to three phases, somewhat like building a house. And usually, you know, when you build a house, you get paid so much after foundation's done, and then it's periodic payments over the course of the progression of the building. It would seem like that would be the way something like this would go, wouldn't
well,
it?
Well, to just interject there, I believe we've had this discussion, and you can elaborate on what the standard protocol is with funding.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, and I know Mr. Freeman will probably have, you know, when he puts out the RFPs and things like that, for the deliverables, yes, it could be like a monthly reimbursement or quarterly. Like, it can be a frequent reimbursement is what I would recommend. You can do advances. You just would have to specify it because the code does not provide for it. And, you know, I, as the auditor, would always recommend to protect the city's finances the best we can. I'm not in any way. I'm just trying to be consistent with how we handle any vendor, whether it be JU. So please don't take that as,
I'm not taking it personally.
As, you know, personally against JU, just trying to protect the city's finances. But you could set it up in a way where whether there's a report that's provided. I don't know, not being an engineer, what type of periodic reports could be provided along the way, to where there's not necessarily, I'm not suggesting that it's at the end that all of a sudden you have to front, if the first phase is $297,000, that all has to be fronted. There could be periodic reports. It's just the city would need, whoever's monitoring it, whether it be in Parks and Rec or in our water quality division, whoever that ends up being, needs to have a way to manage that contract and know what deliverables they should be getting for periodic payments.
Well, it does, you know, when you started talking about, I was thinking periodic payments, and you break them up, like I said, the example, building a house. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about a home builder that has somewhat ready funds that they use and invest at the beginning. I mean, we're talking about a completely different animal, being, you know, a university where they're not in it, you know, for the, quote, profit.
Right, right.
And so I can see a difference in that situation where you may have to front them some money, because I'm sure that I'll call them the golden beads that they're going to have to purchase from England, isn't it? That's not cheap.
Right. And so we could very well sit down and do a specialized structure for materials, and because I believe it takes about 8 or 9 months just to get the.
I think they can produce it in 2 months.
Two months.
It's a rush job, yeah.
Right, and so right now I believe we've already passed our window that they're already dredging again, and they won't stop until the winter of 25, the end of 24, 25 is when they'll.
Every 2 years.
Okay, well, I think that's what we thought to begin with, and they went out there and started dredging again this year when it wasn't expected. So I wouldn't – in reality, what's taking place, the spoil pile is full. And every time they dredge and they're pumping into the spoil pile, it's coming back into our river, to our shoreline area, and the shoal is increasing at a faster pace than it ever has before. And so more's coming back, more's being caught at that shoal, and it's growing. And so one thing I see that I'd like to discuss with the Army Corps, and hopefully Congressman Bean can get them brought in here, is first we got to do is address the shoal pile to where we get that brought down, and that would eliminate the sediments coming back into the river. Then we can sit here and look at the dredging to take place to remove the shoal. But the shoal basin pile, that's critical. That's got to be dealt with first. So, but with the back on the JU proposal, so we're probably going to have some more meetings with procurement and look at who you're planning on using, so we can see, you know, if we need to put it out for an RFP and go through that process. So I'm very cautious to make sure we follow right protocol on this, and then as well as getting a agreeable acceptance of the procedure to accept our end result. Because the last thing I want to do is spend $2 million of our city's money and the headlines that I wasted that and it can't be used. The Army Corps rejects it. And so that's where I want to make sure we're spending our money effectively and wisely. And so
my background's a little bit over in the building, the federal courthouse. I was there for 29 years as a federal prosecutor. But being there, I've been involved with enough to have some speaking knowledge of a little bit of this. First of all, we can't force, we're the state, the city, and that's the federal government. And there's no way that we can force the Marine Corps, and I'm somewhat concerned about talking to the Army Corps of Engineers, because they're Marine Corps contracts. When you look online, it's contracts with the Marine Corps. It's Marine Corps Blunt Island dredging. That money comes out of Department of Defense funds. That's maintaining, that's base, that is a military base. And while we were at the land of sand sending ships over, about 85% of our material left from there because we've got the railroads and we've got I-10 and 95.
Right, and so that's where we're going to lean on our congressional arm there to see if they can bring that home for us.
But, I mean, just somewhat spitballing, even getting, first of all, whether or not we could ever get the Army Corps of Engineers to agree that, hey, we've picked JU, they didn't, right? But they're going to agree to look at their proposal and go, okay, JU, whatever you come up with, we're going to follow. You think it's going to happen? No. I'll bet on that one. It's not.
Right.
And even letting us up there, because things, I think, are quickly going to change on this, because you've had some conversations, I guess, with the Army Corps.
They've referred us to their lawyer.
Right.
That's the start.
What, like I say, the protocol that I'm looking to do is not jump in with lawyers, that we can sit down with Congressman Bean's office and Congressman Bean, and let's work on it as a joint effort for the river of what we need to do. Now, if that means that we have to go with their protocol to do the study, we can evaluate that. I appreciate JU's work and everything they've done on this, but I just see a lot of steps we've got to climb and make sure we're following the proper protocol and at the end have a result that's going to be agreeable and acceptable that'll be adhered to. So that's, I guess, that's some of my concerns with it. And so, you know, I'll definitely be waiting to hear from Congressman Bean's office when we can meet. And to, I'm willing to come sit down and bring this information to him when he's available at his schedule and kind of give him an enlightenment on it. We've got definitely got some, you know, some people at this table that are very knowledgeable and are experts on what's happening out here. From Captain Suber, I don't know if you want to add anything to the conversation with this, but he's been around it. He's been in the meetings with the Army Corps and all.
Through the chair, as far as the procurement stuff, I know the procedure. It just is what it is. As a matter of though, if Jet and we didn't bring JU as just a little, let's call JU. They're actually our advisors on environmental issues already, and so this equipment is, and this process is a. We don't know if it's going to be. I'm hoping it works. I mean, none of us in here have seen it before. It's got to be a program that's got to be developed and utilized. But the problem that we have is time sensitive. It's a safety issue extremely. We're having boats. Look, that picture right there is a prime example that could have been some fatalities right there. Luckily, it wasn't. I mean, it's a safety issue that is rising, no pun intended, rising to the top. It's getting worse and worse every time. And it's obvious that when the dredging stops, from the layman's perspective, I mean, they just live out there. They can see it. I mean, I ride out there and we run the waterways, and you can see that it starts growing when the dredging starts moving. And it's not something that's a big secret, except we can't get the Army Corps and the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps' contractor to accept it and acknowledge it. And that's why we have to find proof to show them that, you know, there are tangibles here that's showing what you're doing. And that's why this is so important, and it has to be. It can't wait until, let's wait 8 months until they start again, or 2 years till they start again, because the shoal is not going away as soon as that dredging stops. It's going to stay there. And we've already got processes for marking it, but it's in a stalemate, and we don't know. I hope not, but, you know, the Coast Guard is not giving us a permit to put our signs out there and our buoys out there warning that it's a, you know, it's held up down in the district level, not here locally. It's down in Miami being held up at the district office, which we can't find an answer why. And that would be a good way to start, too, to get a phone call from Mr. Bean's office as to where's the permit and what's holding it up, because that's the safety part. Once we mark it, we're at least, from a liability perspective, in better shape. But we have to decide through the Army Corps, through everybody involved, whether we're going to accept the fact that that's going to be another island, or if it's going to be a shoaling area that's just going to be there. And if it is, who's going to manage it? Who's going to? And then that's the, right now, us putting those buoys out there, making it a danger zone as a shoal, we're accepting the responsibility of those markers, because that was the phone call we got from the Coast Guard last, was who's responsible for these, and their answer, they wanted to make sure it wasn't their responsibility. And we accepted the city that it was a private aid to navigation that we would monitor and we would manage and we would replace if they go away, and the stuff that we've had promised to do. So we've done everything that we can do to make them comfortable with getting the buoys out there. We just, that's an immediate factor of this. The other factor is, from the users out there and the homeowners out there is proven what's causing it. No matter what, if it's not the shoaling people, then what is it? That's all we want to find out, what's causing it.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Captain Suber. Just real quickly on to bring everybody up to speed, we have approved the funding for marking the shoal out there. The city, I believe it's $70,000-$80,000 that we approved. The money's there. We've got the contractor ready to go put it in. The goal was to try to have it done before the spring boating season takes place, and that hasn't happened. So now we've got a whole nother boating season that's here upon us, and this is just a matter of time before the Channel 4, the news gets a hold of it. So I just want to bring everybody up to speed. The city has funded that, and it's ready to go, waiting on that permit. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Are you Congressman Means' assistant?
I'm field representative.
What's that?
Field representative.
I got you. Great. So to bring you up to speed a little bit more, we've been at this for over 2 years. We have gone through all the proper processes, the permits, that sort of thing, to get the safety aspect of it, because we have two aspects. One is safety. One is remediation and prevention in the future. We realize that the second portion of it is going to take a little more time, but getting somebody in a casket is going to be fairly quick. And I will tell you, we have had multiple instances of people being actually catapulted out of boats, being pulled off after spending hours on there, on the shoal, and that sort of thing. These funds have been appropriated. They have gone through, the permits have been approved by FWC. All at the state and city level, we've done that. The Coast Guard, during this entire experience, and this is what I would ask that you take back to the congressman, is the Coast Guard, during this entire situation, has steadfastly said, this is not our responsibility. This is not what we need to be doing. It is not in the navigable channel. And so we are disinterested, and they have shown it by their actions repeatedly after being asked to attend these meetings, to attend the issues, and to understand the facts. They have consistently done that. Now we find out, after we've gone through every one of the hurdles that we have been provided, we're now told that we have a delay of maybe 30, 45 days, maybe more, of course, because they're interested now. I'll tell you what is going on, and I would ask that you convey this from me to the congressman, and that is that we're getting a game played with us. And the game is exactly as has been referred to earlier, and that is we don't want to launch into a study where they say, oh, that wasn't good enough, that wasn't what we were intending. And they've already started that stuff, going to Jason Herrera, the fellow with the Army Corps, and working our way through the entire bureaucracy. We have gotten these little games and hurdles thrown up in order to prevent, one, the notification of a severe safety issue in this city, and secondly, everything that they can do to sandbag this thing and basically frustrate us. And you would think after 2 years, most people would get frustrated. You know what? I'm not even close to frustration yet. And I will assure you that I think it's high time for the media to get directly involved in this and turn this into as much of anything else as a political issue. And that is political issue for safety of the constituents, safety of the people of Jacksonville and the visitors and that sort of thing. We tout our city as the river city. This is a shoaling city. The whole situation that has gone on thus far, and I was chairman of this subcommittee, and I will tell you, I feel like I've totally wasted my time. I feel like I've talked into a echo chamber, and I said I wasn't going to get frustrated. I'm not. I'm pissed off. And so are the neighbors, and so are the people that utilize
our bait and tackle store, Browns Creek Fish Camp, Palms Fish Camp Restaurant. I mean, we have done vibrant things for Jacksonville. We have built businesses. We have the shrimp boats down the way, Miss Maryland shrimp boats. We have commercial activity. And, of course, that seems to ring the political bell because we got commercial aspect to it. We got residential aspect to it. We got visitor tourism aspect to it when we're touting ecotourism. And we have commercial aspect to it. We have all three. And it's high time that we get something done. So I avail myself to any kind of communication, any kind of meeting, whatever, with the congressman. But it's time to get off the shoal.
Thank you, Mr. Hardesty.
Building on that, the fact that we've got the fact that we've got the commercial interests, the residential interests. There's one thing else that we have, and that is is there a way just to move this up forward? Everybody has the pictures, right? Right here? Yeah, the one with the circle in it? Are they? All right, so you see where it says Clapboard Creek? You see where the A is on Clap? Go straight, that would be going straight south. The white stuff you see is $2.5 million worth of floating concrete docks that went through waterways and is paid for by the city. Those are our city's floating docks. Over to the left, if you're holding it at you, to the left of that is a boat ramp. That, anytime in the state of Florida you have a public boat ramp, it automatically under Florida law becomes a park. That's actually a park. That's actually a Jacksonville park. And I have to say what frustrates me some is I feel like we are asking people to come to a Jacksonville park. The people come there to utilize that, and then they come right out. Just think of this. They come right out to go fishing. They launch, and there they go. They're going to head towards the St. John's River. But actually, this is the real St. John's River. That's fake. But they come out here, right in front, and they hit ground. And it's like we're inviting them, you know, when Mr. Hardesty says, you know, quick to a casket. I have sat on my couch, and it was a boat that was going by, and it had been going by at least 20 knots. And there was a young lady sitting on the front of the bow. And it gives me goosebumps now. And she was sitting on the front of the bow, and all of a sudden it went. I ran out onto my dock to look out because I thought, for God's sakes, I'm going to be going into the water to help a lady. Somehow she didn't fall in. Thank God. But, I mean, it's a real thing. And so, I mean, I can't push. Even like last night I started thinking, because two nights ago I was out there at 10 o'clock at night and I was trying to make it up from Clapboard. I went under the bridge at Clapboard Creek trying to make it up past on hugging the docks. It was about 10 o'clock at night. Hugging the docks hit very shortly into this section here. Had to back up and go back all the way around. So it's getting worse. It's getting much worse, and it's just that I can tell you this. My wife and I own and operate Palms Fish Camp, and we actually lease the building is leased. The city owns the building. Most people don't know, but the city owns the building there. And on any beautiful weekend, which is coming up again, we'll have 40 to 42 boats at one time hanging on that. And guess what? They didn't come in by the ramp. They came in by the water. And then when they're leaving, we stay open till 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. I'm out there telling people, make sure you go far out. Because there are no lights. When we put those up, we need them lit. Not just reflective, because I'm sorry, but half the people don't have...
Let Mr. Suber talk real
quick. Half the people don't have a light projecting off their bow, and they wouldn't even see the reflectors.
Captain Suber, Rick.
Yeah, that's part of the program we're trying to do right now. But the Coast Guard's perspective originally, as well as the Army Corps, is that it wasn't affecting the channel. There is not a marked channel. There's no channel buoys or nothing that gives boats like it does in the Intercoastal Waterway. In the Intercoastal Waterway, there's shoals on each side of the channel as you're going up and down the Intercoastal Waterway. If boaters go outside those channel markers, they're on their own. It's their fault. Here, they say, well, it's not affecting the channel, and so the question is, well, what do they see as the channel? The middle of a river is not necessarily a channel. It's the perception of the boater, what he sees as from point A to point B of where that vessel needs to go. So if they're going along and they come in from the Intercoastal Waterway and they're coming into Clapboard Creek, they'll come around and there's a sign about manatees that's out in the main stem a little bit, and then you go around that, and then they cut right into the river, and they're going to go into Clapboard Creek itself, which is a right turn in, and so you would naturally, just a natural route that you would take. Well, it takes them right into that shoal. That's why these markers are so critical at this point. And so even on the chart, there's not a navigable channel that's marked in that waterway, so if there's not one absolutely marked in there, then the Coast Guard perceives it as the middle of the river. And that's one of the problems that we're experiencing with, getting help from the federal end of this issue.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Suber. As you can hear here is a lot of experience and knowledge of what's going on out there. And so that's why I reached out to Conqueror Ms. Bean's office to let's get some help and some assistance here. And so I appreciate you coming and him sending you. And so I look forward to more dialogue with him none of us want any kind of tragedy out there. And so that's why I'm, really reaching out that we need to take action and be proactive and get a result out there. If there's a phone call he could do to the Coast Guard to get us our permits, to get this marked to where we can do our best, our due diligence to make sure that we're trying to protect our boaters out there, our public. So I really hope he can help us with that, so we can get that in place. Dr. Pinta?
I might just add one other aspect that we were talking about looking at this study, and that is the fact that some of this spoil is going back probably into the basin where they're dredging it in the first place. Exactly. So there may be some kind of benefit to the, to the Department of Defense in more efficaciously using their funds. So there may be a sort of a win-win for both the city and the Marine Corps or the Army Corps, and this may be a way to get them to the negotiating table to kind of resolve this issue.
It's definitely because that
tracer that we plan to place, if it ends up in that basin, then it's just making its way back to where they're dredging it again.
They're throwing the water on the hill, and it's washing right back in as fast as they throw it up there. So I totally agree with you that this could potentially eliminate the dredging process for years. If they could get this resolved, then they wouldn't have to do it and fix what's been messed up, and we can rectify a lot.
Yeah, this process is a natural process. I mean, it's happening all the time. But certainly if you can prevent that, you can increase the time between dredges cheaper.
Correct. Thank you, sir. All right, before we wrap it up here, any comments from?
I had one question.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Stalker, Does it work when I push this?
Dr. Stocker, my question is it is very, very hard packed sand that seems to be the consistency of that shoal. Is there any straightforward test where we can take a sample of that and see if it is good enough for beach renourishment?
Yeah, I would assume so. There's probably let's see if I'm close enough. There's probably criteria for size and distribution of grains for good beach renourishment sand. But if we could show that it's within certain thresholds, it would be usable as dredge sand material.
Well, I'm not pure of heart when I'm suggesting this, but I am certainly saying it for the standpoint that we have another anticipated ready-made solution for the bureaucracy that they may be able to get behind, and I would share that with the congressman as well, that we have literally looked at this thing, with the exception of this little nugget that we are discussing right now, we have done everything that we are able to do at this point in time with the resources that we have, and I will just tell you, it's very poignant right now how we have actually been dealt with by the federal agencies involved, and it's very telling. And it's time for that to end.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hardesty. Any other final comments? Director Grant?
Yeah, I have a question. Are there any prior studies that we can refer to as to what happens to communities when this is not dealt with?
May I answer?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a excellent study, and it was a study by the actual commercial businesses that are in and around Johns Pass, which is St. Petersburg area, and it's very similar to this sort of thing. They did some dredging. Hmm. They had a shoal develop, and they had made a breakwater there. That contributed to it as well. So the bureaucracies involved, they decided that they'd go, dredge it. And they dredged it. It came back within months. There was no remediation to it. And we have preached the remediation to it and the prevention prior. We know that it's nuts to just throw money at this when we know we're going to have to redredge again. There needs to be a fix to it. And so we are trying to be fiscally responsible as well in this whole thing and prudently look at it. But, yes, Johns Pass, and I have all that information. It has been presented long ago, and I believe there's another study or two that refer exactly to that same sort of thing that you're drilling down on. So, yes, we have that.
Okay. Yes, if you're privy to that, if you could get it to Legislative Services, we could get it back on the table.
They have had it for a year and a half now, and I can send it again.
If you would, that helps us streamline the process.
Okay.
And appreciate that wisdom.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, I just want to speak a little bit to the proposal from JU. Just briefly looking at it, I do agree. I think a phased approach. So assumptions here are we don't get any funding from DOD or from the state. This is using City of Jacksonville dollars to pay for this. And there's no waiving of Chapter 126, right? So this would have to fall under my code. This would be considered an unsolicited proposal. The current code doesn't speak. It's vague to the city receiving unsolicited proposals. However, the new code, which is effective on July 1st, allows for unsolicited proposals. That process is almost complete on how the city's going to handle unsolicited proposals. But normally, when we receive one, we would post a notice of receipt of an unsolicited proposal to allow other entities the opportunity to compete. If we decide to go down an RFP route, my recommendation, based off of the scope that's in front of me, is you're going to have to do the phased approach. You're going to have to do multiple RFPs. The first phase, one RFP. The second phase, which we have to be, just looking at the scope that's on here for phase two, it involves mapping. Mapping services falls under state statute 287.055 of the CCNA. That would have to be solicited differently than the first phase. But it's definitely doable.
Okay.
One thing that may be semantics, but the fact is that this whole issue was brought up during waterways, and because we have a contingency of two doctors, PhDs, that sit to give us advice on Waterways Commission in different regards, that we actually, in mass, we all were in favor of it in asking, hey, JU, could you do this? Do you think you have this ability? So it's not like it was unsolicited, that they just brought it in and say, look what we can do.
Well, maybe you need to explain what unsolicited from your perspective.
Yes, sir. So through the chair, unsolicited just means the city did not submit a request for proposals for this.
Right.
Right.
So it was spoken about.
It's a no bid recommended contract.
No. It's,
well, there was no bid. I won't get it.
So it's kind of and I know what Director Chief Freeman is saying, but the unsolicited is it did not originate from his office. And so when it doesn't originate from his office, it's basically categorized as unsolicited. Mm-hmm. And so he's speaking from his platform. Director Suber, Captain Suber.
Through the chair, just for, so everybody, for curiosity, the time frame for the RFP being out on the street and everything, is it 7 days, 30 days, 14 days?
Well, it depends. I mean, the first one, so if we do the phase approach, phase one, that would be 21 days on the street. And then phase two, what's the dollar amount for phase two? Around the same, something. Yeah. 21 days, phase two.
Right, so that's the standard process for him. The bigger process will be, or the biggest hurdle is going to be from, say, our position, is getting him the funding committed to be able to put it out for an RFP. And so that's the challenges that we're working through to get to with Congressman Bean's office, our city council, and procurement. Jay, so there's a lot we've got to pull and get in line and in agreement to make sure we can get this moving forward. Any other questions? Anybody comments?
Just about the funding question.
Yes, ma'am.
So you mentioned that you're funding this through the city and that you're not going through DOD. Is there a try? Have you been turned down? Like, what is...
Well, this is where I'm trying right now. That's why I got you here. So we're going. I have not got any money committed to this from the administration to do this. When I talk to them, I get a lot of questions asked back, and so I want to work through this process. Get with Congressman Bean to where, if we can get some support, if he can, through some of these programs that's coming out of Washington, if they can just slide a couple, $2 or $3 million on this, and let's find out what it is, and we gladly appreciate it, because from our perspective, As a city of Jacksonville, we didn't create this, and we really feel, and everything points to that the Army Corps dredging process is where the problem is coming at. But we've got our citizens to look out for, and with basically one of our biggest assets is the St. John's River, and a bigger asset is our citizens' lives. And so we don't want to see any of that, first and foremost, any life loss out here. Plus, we don't want to see our biggest asset of the river. So anything we can get support from the federal level is what I'm reaching out for, whether it's financial or...
Congressman Bean already stated that he is not going to earmark any community projects until there's a balanced budget up in Washington. So he has not supported any community projects, nor will he. He is a firm supporter of any approved grant funds. And so that's why I'm asking, has anyone ever looked to see if there are grant funds available for this kind of a project?
Commissioner Hardesty.
Dr. Stalker and I attended a meeting with Beth Payne at the Northeast Florida Regional Council, and Beth, I guess, reached out to y'all's office, particularly under the guise of resiliency and that sort of thing. That fell flat. So here we are again. And I appreciate the political posturing and that sort of thing that's going on. The bottom line is, though, is we got people, citizens of this very city, of his very his constituents, that are at risk. And so I don't know if the bigger picture is more important than the constituents that are at risk. I don't know that. We'll find out. But that's what's going on.
I think our office absolutely can, you know, try to be a connector with the Coast Guard. We certainly can't force their hand in anything, but we can try to be a connector, facilitator, to help, you know, figure out where those permittings are for the signage, for the safety concerns. Just speaking 100% on the funding portion of this study. So do clarify. I definitely think that let's let our office get to work on that, contacting the Coast Guard and figuring out where the holdup is on that permitting. Definitely want to get that actionable quickly.
What's the best way to get a face-to-face with Congressman Bean?
When are you going to be in D.C. next?
What's that?
I said, when will you be in D.C. next?
As soon as Delta Airlines can fly me up.
that would be a challenge. I mean, what we'll do is we'll certainly work, but him getting that face-to-face with you is not us getting on that phone with the Coast Guard, and that's what we need to start doing is taking those actions on the back
right.
end.
So, if he can do that to... If y'all can reach out to the Coast Guard to help try to get that boosted with that, I'll just put it out there is when he's available, I'll be available to meet with him and whatever we need to, you know, to dive into this and to get a game plan. You know, I'm 100% committed to that. So I appreciate.
We can do a lot of work on the back end without him having to be in front of us to actually get the work done. So.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And we'll be, Bethany can send you more shoaling footage that we've got.
Take them fishing.
Yeah, we take them fishing. But yeah, I'm definitely I'm ready anytime he's available. We can definitely sit down and work through this and appreciate you coming and look forward to his presence and his abilities to help move this forward. So with that, any other questions?
Is this for the whole meeting or just this topic?
Be for the whole meeting unless you've got something else you want to.
I had something I wanted to say.
Okay. I know Chief Freeman has to leave. And so if any of the administration has to go, I'm not
sure. No, it's fine.
Okay, so we're going to continue on a little bit here, so go ahead.
I just can't talk to these individuals here who
without having these meetings. And so I'd rather just say it in the open, and you'll say, boy, he was an idiot. He should have said it anyways, than be breaking a law and go to jail, okay? So what I want, I know you'll recognize this, Waterways Commissioner Hardesty and Councilman Gay. I would love for everything to be transparent, but I'm afraid, one, if any of you guys are betting, see if I'm right. Number one is the Marine Corps, the Department of Defense, will not prejudge and say, you know, whatever you guys come up with, we like the way you're doing it, sound scientifically sound, but we're not going to say yes and agree to be bound by that. It isn't going to happen. That's one. Number two is, what happens if we get to that point and we have to hold somebody responsible? Do you think if that your decision comes out and we lose and we don't, you know, that doesn't hold water, whatever they said in My Cousin Vinny? It just doesn't hold water? Well, then we just spent $1 million or whatever, and we lost. And they go on and they keep doing it. I'm also I know we've got two PhDs here. I look at things, so I step back and just let's look at it simply. And I look at it when I get 12 jurors in front of me and what I can convince you and make those people go in and agree to. And that is, I moved to my home over 20 years ago. My neighbor, who's a retired senior master sergeant in the Army, had been living there since the 70s. This shoaling didn't start to be any kind of problem, but for maybe the last, it started a little in 6 years or so, about. And you can do times. Mr. Hardesty and I have got time pictures of depths. But just think this. I know we're not engineers. I'm not. You are, right?
No. No. Contractor, not okay. Engineer.
All right, so here I ask you to think about this. Remember the red circle? You see the big brown thing up top? It's not a smudge. That is called the dredge disposal basin. And who owns that? The Marine Corps. When did Blunt Island get open? 1942. And then they dug this in. That's not a natural basin. That was all dug. And that spoil got put over here. And I can just tell you that if I was the prosecutor or plaintiff's counsel in this, I'd be able to put many people that have been up there and would say, and I told them that thing was full.
Yep.
I'm just telling you.
Right. And point well taken, and it's kind of what I alluded to earlier, we've got to get the basin spoil pile that rectified immediately to keep the spoil from growing out, the shoaling growing out there.
Real quick,
I am remiss to, when I was asked about whether there were any studies out there, I was remiss not to bring this one up, and I'm glad you reminded me. And that is, the Fulton Cut is the cut through. Are you familiar with that, the Fulton Cut? That is where, as he referred to it, the fake river. It basically straightened out the ingress egress of the ships and that sort of thing, and rather than the twist and turn of the natural St. John's River.
One island wasn't an island.
And so anyway, the Fulton Cut, when it was all cut and dredged and that sort of stuff, all of that created, and the spoil and everything else, created Mill Cove.
And Mill Cove is a massive area. It used to be a pristine estuary. It used to be some of the finest fishing in the nation. And what happened was when the Army Corps of Engineers dug the Fulton Cut and didn't properly put away the spoil, didn't dispose of it properly, it created Mill Cove, which created an entire mud bank that covers hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres and ruined all of that area. Charlie Bennett, who was the prior congressman, he took up the charge. And unfortunately, the Army Corps of Engineers stood in his way so long that it became something that can't be fixed. It is way down the line. It will never regain it, that sort of thing. My point here is that's about as good a study right here in Jacksonville, Florida, as you could ever toss up. And so we got a Charlie Bennett moment right now. And I think it's time that we look at it pretty hard. And that's why I was asking about when he would be available, either up in D.C. I'll be glad to go at my own expense, no doubt about it. Or here in Jacksonville when he comes in to talk with his constituents. We're here.
All right. Pretty much. I mean, that's why I'm here. I assure you that I'm going to be able to communicate this very successfully to him. What actions he can take and what actions we may be able to get started are where it becomes a little unsure right now. But let us, like I said, let me take this back and connect with him first. And let's figure that out. I think, as mentioned, the safety is probably the most important thing, and if there's already actions in place where there's just a permit that's holding something up, let's figure out why, and let's figure out what actions need to be taken and by whom to get that in place first. The only other question I have to ask is, so the survey, let's say the survey gets done. What is the goal of that survey at the end?
The goal would be to have the analysis to identify where the problem's at, where it's coming from, and then who's responsible. And then, you know, then that's where, hypothetically, if it's Army Corps, then, you know, we would be looking for the Army Corps to come in and fix the problem. And so that's... It basically, we're looking to, number one, have it stopped from growing, and then the second part would be to have it rectified.
And then if it's not conclusive, or whatever the words are, if it can't be tied back to the Army Corps responsible, what next?
Then that would be another avenue we'd have to go down. I wouldn't say I have clear direction of the what now, other than tying up some kind of resiliency to beach renourishment, because I know there's a lot of dredging that's taken place, and is overall Fort Caroline Road. I believe the port has a dredge spoil site there, that they're actually selling that dirt to the DOT, FDOT, and all, that it's good road building material. So I'd love for them to take this out, and or the Army Corps start dredging, pumping over there and getting it out of this spoil pile. But there's a lot of hypotheticals there. So I don't have that finality answer to you, Dr. Stalker.
Yeah, just a question. You approached the Army Corps about doing a study, didn't you, of several years ago?
Now, what's that?
You approached the Army Corps already about doing
a study?
Oh,
yeah, we had them in here during a meeting. We had Herrera here. And basically Herrera came in with a song and dance that this was naturally occurring. That's hogwash. And and how does he know that? He hadn't done any studies. What he did was just pulled it out of his old trick bag of, this is the greatest fallback here. And then there was, earlier than that, there was, and I took him out in the boat. I took him out with the depth finder. I took him, I took the DEP fella, and I took Eric Green with the Port Authority. I mean, I assembled the players that I was led to believe would be of interest. And it was the funniest finger-pointing expedition you've ever seen in your life. They basically stood there in the boat, and they started doing this. Oh, that would be you. That would be you. And I'm just sitting back watching in amazement, go, this is the Three Stooges here, you know? And so that's what we're getting, and we're just getting more and more of an outgrowth of that. We're now 2 years down the road. The can has been kicked as hard as it can be kicked, and it's time for some action.
So that Army Corps meeting happened about
2 years ago?
No, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I would say. Yeah, and I can provide you with the entire presentation for that as well. We have a bank of data that, and again, that was my question about seeing the congressman was based on all of the work that we have done, and we're not there to waste his time. We're there to hit him with facts. And, you know, here's a presentation. Here are the facts. It's laid out. And we've done our homework, ma'am.
So the Army, when you met with them a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and they said it's we're naturally occurring.
Yes.
Did they provide any next steps for you?
No. Yeah, they sure did. They told us we could do a $3 million study?
Yeah, it was three.
Yeah, that we could do a $3 million study. That was no guarantee, but if we came up with a $3 million study, then that would be a first step. Not a first step to correction, just a first step for us.
That's true.
It's a snipe hunt. That's what it is. It's a snipe hunt.
One other factor is that we keep saying Army Corps of Engineers, and then we say Marine Corps. Okay, this is the what is getting dredged is a Marine Corps property. The Army Corps of Engineers, they dredged navigable waterways, and but this is not considered a navigable waterway. The Marine Corps, it comes out of their kitty of funds, just like maintaining a runway for the military, the Air Force, and they have to pay that for that. And then they hire private dredging companies to come in. So don't think that the Army Corps of Engineers did any of this. And originally, I was thinking, because I could see when they start dredging, there's these huge pipes, and they have to get filled with water, and then the water gets pushed, and they're pushing the sand, going all the way from point A to the drop zones, literally, and when they to drop it out. Well, these are put together like straws. Just think of it, straws. And in between, when the straws are getting put together, you could see the bubbles going all around. I'm just sitting there watching them all. Okay, I have to see what's going to happen here. And then they sink with the water, the weight. And so that's what I was guessing at first. And since the dredger was putting those in, not the Marine Corps, since that was the dredger's equipment, I was of the misunderstanding, because I've seen enough of these type of contracts where it says if a contractor comes in and they end up causing collateral damages, that they're responsible and it's not the company or the department that hired them. And I was thinking, you know, hey, they're not going to have to worry about it because of the fact that, you know, it's going to be on the dredger. Well, later on, throughout this whole story, I may have learned from a potential dredger that they were told to put the spoil up right there on the Marine Corps' dredge site, knowing darn well it was full. And so, and you could come and stand at the restaurant, and when it rains, you can see the sand coming out. I mean, I had volunteered to sit out there basically with a little butterfly net and catch the sand, and I was thinking, oh, I'm stupid. I grab the sand out of my butterfly net, and I run over to the spoil and go, look, it's a sand. But that apparently wasn't going to hold water. And so, but bottom line is now I learn differently. Because if I was an attorney for the Marine Corps, I'd be going, don't you agree to their thing? Why? Because if you do, it comes out of the Marine Corps' budget. I'm sorry, but I'm looking down the line, and of course it's not me, and I don't get to say go in front of the grand jury and pull that lever, because I can see where this would should go, and it would have to go to federal court. Just fact. And in that vein, there's a thing, and you're very familiar with it, the Freedom of Information Act. In that Freedom of Information Act, certainly we as the city have the right to ask for certain documents. There are 9 exceptions to the Freedom of Information Act. I don't think anything would apply here. But let's say we were asking for, I want to know anything since we started rattling the bell. Have there been any alterations, changes, modifications to that whole system up there since we started ringing that bell? Any emails, et cetera? I want to know any documents, that records, that everything's classified as a record, any record, any and all records that would pertain to the issue of whether or not the hotel's full. Is that hole full?
Jim, do you want to go first?
No, you go first, sir.
Okay.
But you have to pay for those records.
One thing that's very telling and dovetails this is that back in 2019, the dredge spoil area started hemorrhaging, started leaking, and it was coming under the foundation of the dredge site and was flooding the Palms Fish Camp parking lot and was a steady stream of water that came through the parking lot, down the boat ramp, over the banks, the whole 9 yards. In fact, so much so that many, many cars could not be parked in certain portions of the parking lot that butted up to it. Then it created a whole breeding of mosquitoes and that sort of thing. It just went into a mess that the city had to deal with. Well, the interesting aspect of that is they had violated multiple DEP permits regarding the dredge site. And it's all documented, all be part of the Freedom of Information Act. But they violated all those permits for expediency's sake. And so the only way it came to fruition as to getting it fixed was when private citizens had to sound the alarm and say, stop flooding our business, stop flooding our parking lots, and that sort of thing. Bottom line is, these folks don't have clean hands at all. In fact, they're filthy. And we have stumbled upon that one time after another. You know, it's naturally occurring. No, it isn't. You have no basis for that whatsoever. You just came up with that out of your hogwash bucket. And so, and then we just have numerous things that the congressman needs to understand, that things aren't quite as rosy here in Jacksonville as would appear on the surface.
All right. Director Suber?
I just want to follow up with what the commissioner said. The Army Corps, this isn't an Army Corps project, but it is an Army Corps assigned representative for the project. It is the Marine Corps. It's Marine Corps contract and project, and it's being done by a private contractor, but it is actually monitored and assigned by Army Corps representative because he was here at that meeting. And that's what that's the way he explained it to us.
Yes.
Well, I think we've gave you quite a bit of information on what we're looking for, and there's some a lot of passion here about getting it fixed and for a better river out there. So we appreciate you coming, and if there's no further questions, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. And as far as the next meeting, once we have some more, substance to meet about, I'll look at planning a date. I'm not going to meet just to meet, but once we have some more substance, and we'll get it back on the calendar when everyone can attend. So I appreciate everybody's coming and being here and participating. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
God bless you.
Bringing the wisdom.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I've got your.
So Jim, I was asking you about that.
Mike, are